This Rise and Shine podcast series has been made possible by the generosity of the Zitelman Family Foundation, which is committed to the unity and continuity of the Jewish people through meaningful and relevant Jewish education and wisdom.
God doesn't make excessive demands of us. If He gave us these children, it means they are the perfect match for us, and we for them. Hard as it may be to believe at times, but don't despair.
This is Rise and Shine, a podcast that offers timeless wisdom and uplifting meditations to fill your heart, feed your soul, and start your day on a positive note. Here is Adrienne Gold Davis.
I've been traveling nonstop since last fall, doing something called Momentum on the Road. You see, because our regular trips to Israel were canceled due to the war after October 7th, we pivoted and we created this experience where momentum comes to you. And these half-day events help to bring our global community of women warriors together to strengthen resolve to take action, to step into our power and to activate. And during these events, there are inevitably two or three women who come up to me in a whisper and tell me about one of their children who are responding to this global resurgence of anti-Semitism in ways that hurt and disappoint them. Some of these women are immigrants who left their homelands because of anti-Semitic environments before. For them, it is galling to be there again, somewhere where they thought they'd be safe, and worst of all, to have their privileged children tell them that they don't know what they're talking about. My advice is always the same to them. Refuse to take the bait. Instead, tell them that while you deeply disagree with their perspectives, nothing could ever make you stop loving them. That you will not argue and have hostility with them because you value your relationship too much. Now, they're going to up the stakes, to be sure. They want to differentiate from you, and at times, they're going to choose the very thing that means the most to you to use against you. But when you know this, you're going to see that fish hook floating by in the water and refuse to open your mouth and get hooked on that line. It reminds me of something I say whenever I give a parenting class. I often remind the women that they need to break up with their firstborn before he or she breaks up with you. Meaning, to begin to let them go slowly and consciously and begin to accept their autonomy before they demand that you do. There's something about your first, that practice child, that we fill with our aspirations for great parenting and bedevil with our inadvertent mistakes. They're like the training ground for the children yet to come. They benefit from our deep attention and also are victims of what a doctor once told me is called Jewish child abuse. That's over-focusing on your firstborn. For many women, the love they feel for their children is so overwhelmingly powerful that they have no defense or personal boundaries. And long after developmentally our kids see each of us as separate entities, we still want to shove them back in our womb to protect them, to harken back to those days when everything we said was treated as gospel and everything we were was perfect and beautiful. And while that phase passes for our children, sometimes it does not pass for us. And while we are still disappointed, heartbroken, thrilled, proud, and madly in love with them, they have, if you will, moved on. Like you're pursuing someone who's just not that into you. Sometimes we're even afraid to text them, because either they won't answer or they'll give some monosyllabic reply and we make them angry and they often let us know. You know, recently, I had a long conversation with a friend lamenting the pain of what she called displacement and irrelevancy in her children's lives. Did I do such a terrible job? She asked that they want such clear boundaries from me, that they need such a distance from me. And like a relationship with a partner, where one pursues and the other backs away, a dance, if you will, forms that leads our kids to need less of us and we to need more of them. And this is true whether or not you are in a secure and happy marriage, whether you're divorced or you're a single parent by choice. The work of parenting is to raise them to not need you. And the work of motherhood is to live with that successful outcome. But it still hurts. And it hurts doubly when they seem to intentionally rebel against the things you value the most. In her article about parenting, my friend Yael Trush teaches us that parenting is partnership. She references the Talmud, where it says there are three partners in the making of a human: the father, the mother, and God. God is a partner in this parenting endeavor, she writes. We can, and dare I say must, rely on divine assistance because, quite frankly, this task is at times, if not at all times, beyond our human capacity. But as the Midrash attests, the Midrash are the stories that fill in between the lines of what we do and don't understand literally in the Torah. God doesn't make excessive demands of us. If he gave us these children, it means they are the perfect match for us and we for them, hard as it may be to believe at times. But don't despair, because this also means that it's not all up to us. We may love to shep nachas, to take pleasure, but truthfully, we cannot take full credit for the outcome of parenting. While I feel like I've read every single parenting book, spoken to every expert, and consulted with every rabbi, in the end, the only thing that has given me the strength and the ability to breathe is turning to the third partner in my children's creation, to God, their creator, your creator. I have this prayer, like a mantra, that I say to God and to myself whenever I light candles, whenever I'm losing it, whenever I feel that fish hook too close to my mouth. Here's what I say. Hashem, your shoulders are broader than mine. I trust that they are broad enough to carry my child who is so misguided right now. If I leave that to you, then I will simply remain free to love them, trusting that you will bring them clarity at the right time. Please, Hashem, have them see the truth, and until that moment, give me the ability to love them through it all. Our children are living in times of great lies and indoctrination. They are doing so while concurrently attempting to differentiate from their parents and to belong and fit in with their peers. And with the algorithm of their social media, we have much less influence than we did when they were small. But no one can love them like you can. No one will love them like you do. So this week, can you turn to the third partner in their creation and allow yourself to lean on God? Can you ask your Creator to join you in parenting so that you can love those kids in the face of their unlovable behavior? Can you ask Him to keep that child safe from harm and pray that He opens their eyes and brings them clarity while you assure them that they can do nothing to lose your love? It is only through knowing the unwavering love of our Creator that we can emulate it with our children. May we all avoid the bait and bring the abundant love. Am Yisrael Chai.
Thanks for listening to Rise and Shine. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Momentum Podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join Adrian again next time for more timeless wisdom and uplifting meditations that fill your heart, feed your soul, and start your day on a positive note.
This podcast was sponsored by the Zeitelman Family Foundation. Spread the wisdom. Inspire Jewish individuals around the globe by supporting Momentum's podcasts. To sponsor, contact podcast@momentumunlimited.org. You're listening to a Momentum podcast. For unlimited inspiration, wisdom, and empowerment, visit momentumunlimited.org.